Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 36, as we continue tonight, looking at following the leading of God. If you were with us from the beginning, we established the fact that the reason why we phrased it this way is because we're looking at the scriptures from the dimension of the fact that it has been fulfilled. It was promised, it was spoken, it was prophesied, it has been fulfilled. And so our labor today as believers is the labor of knowing. Now put your hand in Ezekiel 36 and go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you. So John is summarizing his teaching. There is a teaching that was given through the ministry of Apostle John. He's summarizing that teaching. It says, these things have I written. Again, the secret of understanding the scriptures is to pay attention to the tenses. Pay attention to the tenses. Don't just read as you're reading. Pay attention to the tenses. There is a way certain things were phrased. These things have I written, okay, unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So in Bible language, what does it mean to believe on the name of Son of God? It means to believe in his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. So I'm writing to you who have believed. So you are somebody who has been baptized into the reality of all that God has ever promised. Let me say that again. These things have I written unto you that believe. So the scriptures can be divided into two or three portions. There are things written to those that do not believe. There are things written to those that believe. And there are things written to those in order they might believe. So, the epistles are written to those that believe. The gospels are written that men might believe. That's important. So, this is about written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So, we know to believe on the name, therefore, will be to enter into the fullness of what he has accomplished. That's what it means to believe. Hallelujah. Remember that to believe in Bible language would be to be baptized. That means to be immersed into a reality, isn't it? So there's a message that was preached. That message preached is the announcement of the reality. That reality is what you get baptized into once you believe. So again, to believe and to be baptized are one and the same. It means you are immersed into a reality. You have been immersed into a reality. And that reality is what is teaching now. Okay? So again, it says, this is about written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have. So the epistles were written not to make you have, but to bring you to your understanding that you are a possessor already. That implies that having something does not mean you know it. I've written this things unto you that you may know you have. That is, you are a possessor. That you may know that you have what? Eternal life. Now, remember, in our study of scriptures, that eternal life and the spirit, the new birth, they are one and the same. These things are by written that you may know. So the believer is a possessor, and knowledge simply brings him into an understanding of what he possesses. The believer is a possessor, and knowledge is meant to bring you into the understanding of what you already what possess. That's important. So I've written this is unto you that you may know that you have, or you are a possessor of eternal life. Again, what does it mean to believe and to be a possessor? Again, put your hand there. Go with me to 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I read from verse 11. It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let me read again. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified. That you are separated, and you are justified in the name. So again, in the name means in what he has accomplished, in all he represents, in all he stands for. That's the name. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So if a man has eternal life, he is washed, he is sanctified, he is justified in the name. And to be justified in the name means by the Spirit of God. So eternal life and the Spirit of God, they are one and the same. Say amen. That's important. So John says in writing to those who believe. Now, the same John now wrote to those who are meant to believe. Look at John's gospel now. That's the epistle of John. John's gospel and chapter 20. And I'm going to read verse 30. John's gospel chapter 20 and verse 30. It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. Notice, it was done. So let me put it this way. John, in his exegesis, deliberately picked certain miracles and signs for one singular purpose. He's about to tell us. In other words, the reason why John did not record some of the miracles that occurred in the other gospels was a particular purpose. He focused on some. And in John's exegesis, the miracles John focused on supported the message of the Spirit and life that John was preaching. So look at why he says again, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book, verse 31, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have what? Life through his name. Can you see that? So I wrote this to you that you might believe, and that in believing, what you receive is what? Life. Hallelujah. What is that life again? The Spirit of God. Glory to God. So notice in the Gospels, he writes that they might have, that they might believe in order to have. In the epistles, he's writing to those who have believed that they may know what they have. Why? Because you will soon find out that there is a cooperation. When light floods the eye of your understanding, which is the eye of your mind, there's a cooperation and a slant, which we also call renewal of the mind, that takes place on the inside of you that makes it easier for you to pick up on the realities of the Spirit. God has done God's part. The reason why in experience it looks as though whatever God has done has not been done is because you need to know what you have. You need to know what God has done. You need to know what reality is with respect to you being a believer. That's important. Hence, that the highest of your understanding may be what? Enlightened. You need to know. So that knowing enables cooperation. Where did you start from? Colossians 1. Don't worry, we're still going to go to Ezekiel. Colossians 1. Look at the language in Colossians 1. And I'm reading from verse 21. Colossians 1 and verse 21. See what it says? It says, and you that were sometime, what? Alienated and what? Enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet at now what? Reconciled. So notice, you were alienated, that's separated. You were estranged. And it says that estrangement did not come from God. It came through wicked works and the slant that wicked works give to your mind. In other words, there is a slant of the mind of those who are yet to receive Christ or to receive the gospel that makes them think God is against them. It's a slant. So there is enmity in their minds because of the wicked works they are involved in. So wicked works have an effect on a man's heart. They slant his mind against God. His natural thinking is God is out to get him, not God is out to bless him. You are enemies in your mind by wicked works. Now, though a man is now saved, John says, I'm writing to you that you may know why, to change that mindset. So even many believers who are saved still have a mindset that needs to be changed through thorough understanding of God's word. Glory to God. Let me say it again. Without that knowledge, you will lean more on the arm of experience and the reality of the God's word. So there's a feeding of God's word that you need that will make you rely on God's word as your final authority over and above every experience. And that is what makes every negative experience submit to the word of God that's in your heart. So now, let's go to Ezekiel 36. And I'm reading from verse 27. It says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. If you start from verse 25, it says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. So notice, Ezekiel is prophesying. Ezekiel using prophetic language. Ezekiel is speaking on the mind, on the behalf of God. And so this is a prophetic description. You will have to decode what he's saying. He's talking about the new birth. He's talking about God accomplished redemption by putting his spirit in man. So you can say it this way. Redemption is God's spirit finding a home in man. Shall I say that again? Ezekiel is prophesying. Ezekiel is one of the writing prophets. Ezekiel is speaking the mind of God as a promise. Ezekiel is saying, this is what God wants to accomplish. What is God's plan of redemption? That the Spirit of God will be at home in man. Now, when Ezekiel was speaking, how was he writing? By the Spirit of God. How did every prophet write? By the Spirit of God. How did every prophet function? By the Spirit of God. But the leading and the guidance and the operations were external. They were external. So you can say it this way, Ezekiel was not washed from idols. Hallelujah. Ezekiel was not washed from idols. Ezekiel was not separated from sin. Ezekiel was righteous by faith only in what God would do. So Ezekiel was a believer in the promise of God. And Ezekiel, therefore, is now speaking of what God said he would do. And look at the language. So that now that it has taken place, when we go back to look at what Ezekiel said, we can see in detail what we have received. What does it mean? Remember, we just read 1 Corinthians 6. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of what? Our Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Now, if you listen to the series that we're looking at on in our daily devotion, how many of you have been listening to the series? Okay. Now, you'll notice that if you follow the teaching, it's not necessarily new, but it will be taught in a new way. How many of you understand that? Now, you will discover that that particular aspect takes a while to settle upon your consciousness. Because there is a mindset that believes, listen carefully, that I am forgiven until the next time I sin. And it's my sincere thinking. In fact, that thinking is consistent with the law of Moses. I am forgiven until the next time. So there's a compulsion. Now, if you were coming to God on a clean slate, and you had no teacher in the natural, and so you started off by believing in Christ Jesus, what was preached to you on the first day you received Christ was that you are justified from whatever else you couldn't be justified from. That's what you heard. That's what you heard at the beginning. Nobody taught you. Or where you were coming from in the traditional religious way of looking at things, where your thinking is every time you commit sin, you go to God. How many of you have been asked where they ask for forgiveness every day? Morning prayer. So, you know, unconsciously, your mind was being trained that way to ask for. Now, in a sense, you could say, that is fine as long as you are not saved. In fact, they won't support it. Give us this day our daily bread. The only challenge is, not that you are saved, he has given you daily bread. It is always bread. It is necessary bread. It is bread reserved for the children. And you have eaten the bread. That's how you became a son. You ate the bread. Hallelujah. And when you ate the bread, you became what the bread represents. If the bread is forgiveness of sins, then you are permanently forgiven. You are a forgiving one. And I try to explain that teaching difference between forgiveness and righteousness. To be forgiven means whatever was wrong was pardoned. To be righteous means you never did anything wrong. And you have both. Hallelujah. Now, I'm trying to explain Ezekiel 36, 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water. Who has the water? God has the water. What's the nature of that water? Clean. What will happen to the person that the person will now be called clean? So it's the water that cleanses, and whatever is cleansed thinks on the nature of the water, or that person is now described in the light of the water. So the quality of the water is now used to define you. Now, if we are reading that in the epistles now, we'll say 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. Put your hand there, go to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. Now we have received. Hallelujah. Now we have received. Not the spirit of the world, or not idols. We have received. Not the spirit of the world, or we are not dead to God. Now we have received. Not the spirit of the world, or we are not in the flesh. We have received. Not the spirit of the world, or we are not without spiritual intelligence. He's saying the same thing. Now we have received. Not the spirit of the world, or we are alive to God. Because having the spirit means we are alive unto God. That means whatever operates in God's realm, you are alive or you are sensitive to it. You are open to it. God opened you up to it. Can you deny that in experience? Yes, you can. Does it change the fact that that is your reality? It doesn't change it. Now we have received. Not the spirit of the world, so we don't behave like the world. We don't speak like the world. We don't confess like the world. So the world has the right to say certain things. The believer has the right to say certain things. How does the believer speak as a possessor? I've written unto you that you may know that you have. So whatever you are going to say and pray must start from what you have. That's the implication. It must begin from what you have. So now we have received. That's consistent with what John said in 1 John chapter 5 verse 13. That you may know that you have. Say, I have. I have eternal life. I have clean water, therefore I'm clean. I'm cleansed. And I remain cleansed. I'm washed. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. Glory to God. There's no second work of grace. You are God's work. And in Christ you are perfect. You are not perfect in conduct because that's a function of spiritual growth. But in light of the cleansing, because do you suppose when God cleanses, he cleanses well? Do you suppose when God cleanses, he cleanses well? Yeah, he does. So he's telling in advance, I will make it possible. Look at what he says. I will sprinkle with clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. And from all your feelings and from all your what idols will I what? Cleanse you. How will he do that? A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away. So the giving of a new heart is a taking away. They're not two separate operations. They are one and the same. The giving of a new heart is the taking away of what? The stony heart. So when God gives, he takes away. Hallelujah. Put your hand there. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. I want to use that phrase because it will become obvious what he's talking about. Hebrews 10 verse 3. Because of our time, and let me just jump. Verse 3, Hebrews 10 verse 3. It says, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away what? Sins. So, what is the basis for confession of sins in the Old Testament? That is the basis we just read. Did they confess their sins repeatedly? Yes. Why were they confessing their sins? Verse 3 says, in those sacrifices, there is remembrance of sin made every year. Verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should what? Take away sin. So, what is God's plan? That sin should be taken away. What is the problem with the law? The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sin. Where, what is the nature of sin? It is spiritual. What is the nature of blood, bulls and goats? It is natural. It is chemical. Chemical and spiritual don't mix. Hallelujah. Chemical and spiritual do not mix. So what God did was that he will use a spiritual substance to proffer a spiritual solution. And if spiritual meets spiritual, it should be eternal in nature. It is not possible. So they will need to confess again and again, because whatever sin they were confessing was covered, it was not taken away. What God wanted was it should be what? Taken away. Now, look at what it says next. See, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body has thou prepared me. It says, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you didn't have any pleasure. Then said thy Lord, I come in the volume of the book. So, in the things that were written, spoken by the mouth of the prophets ahead of time, I'm coming in the light of all that they have said to fulfill and to bring to pass all they have said. So, let me say this way. Sacrifice and offering is not what the prophet said. The blood of bulls and goats is not what the prophet said. We know that's why Abraham did not offer Isaac. Because there can only be one lamb. So I'm coming in the volume of the book on the light of what the prophets have written. That's what it called means by the volume of the book. See what it says again. Verse 8. Above when it said, sacrifice and offering, and both offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. Neither do you have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. The law was the one that prescribed the sacrifice and offerings, not the prophets. Then said it, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that may what? Establish the second. What first did he take away? He took away the sacrifices and the offerings, blood of bulls and goats, that could not take away sin. He established the second, or the permanent one, and that permanent one took it away. So let me ask you a question. I'm going to jump down now. How did we get here? Just follow, amen. I'm explaining cleansing, Abin. Okay, so it's still in line, because I think, are we not looking at our morning devotion thing, but it's in line. See what it says again. Let me jump all the way to verse 18. Look at verse 18. Want to let's read together. Now, say now. Say now. Where remission? Blotting out. Wiping away. I'm explaining remission. Remission. Blotting out. Wiping away. Carried off. They all mean the same thing. Where remission of this is. What this all sin is. There is no more what? offering for sin. Let me say it in modern English. If there's no more offering to be offered for sin, because sin was taken away once and for all, there's no more confession of sin. Hallelujah. You cannot confess, because he said, I will sprinkle you with clean water and you shall be clean. If you are clean, where do you find uncleanness? Okay, should I say that again? Okay, are you clean? Are you clean? Are you God's workmanship? Are you God's workmanship? So, what you are dealing with is, there is sin in your conduct, but sin is not your nature. What is God dealing with? Your conduct. Sorry, your nature rather. Since God is interested in your nature, because nature is what determines your standing and your status, not conduct. Because if conduct can determine, then a man can be righteous by works. But since nature is what determines standing, conduct will only matter after nature is right. Hallelujah. So if your nature is wrong, you're still associated with idols, then whatever you do in conduct does not matter. You might as well be Hare Krishna or Buddhist or Hinduist, and your conduct is right, but you're a child of the devil. A new spirit will I put within you. A new heart also will I give you. And in giving, I will take away. Now, in Hebrews, it now says that he takes away the first, that he may establish what? The permanent. Now, what he did with the law in establishing new is exactly what he did in our hearts. In giving us the spirit, he took away the nature of sin. That's what he did. He took away the stony heart of flesh. Because this new heart, this new spirit, there's no more offering for sin. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, verse 1 now says that we should be holy and without blame. Before who? Before it means that this is the work that God has done. When he looks at you, the work he has done makes you holy and without what? Blame. Now, does that mean you are holy without blame in your conduct? No. Your conduct is a function of growth. Your nature is a function of his perfection. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, are we together so far? Now, go back to Ezekiel 36. Praise God forevermore. Let's go to verse 27 now. It says, and I will put my spirit within you. So this is God's promise. This is God speaking to the prophet. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, the word within there means in your inward parts. So there will be fraternization. Now, what were you fraternizing with before? Your heart was picking up impulses. It was picking up information from your external environment. Thoughts were being suggested to you. Leadership was given to you from outside through thoughts that were being passed through your mind. But now I'm going to put my spirit within you and your inward part so that there will be fraternization between my spirit and your heart. Now remember how we define the heart. That includes also the brain, the will, intellect, and what? Emotions. So your emotions can be affected externally. They can be affected internally. Praise God forevermore. It can be. So, but I will do something. I'll put my spirit. I will put it within you. So, where does leadership come from? Within. Where was leadership coming from before? Without. So, when it says, I will cleanse you from idols, idols is a figure of speech for receiving leadership from external forces, particularly the many voices that are in the world. Hallelujah. Are we together tonight? Okay, so I'll put my spirit within you, and what will happen? I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and I will give you, and you shall keep my judgments and what? Do them. First Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to read, John said, I'm writing to you that you may know you have. So Peter says the same thing, but look at how Peter described it. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched what diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, so they prophesied of the grace to you. So the grace that was to come, they spoke of it to you, and they were searching. So what they were saying, the word search there means that they were trying to figure out all these things God is saying, what time frame. Is it for us or for a good and group of people? And look at what the Bible says. They were searching what or what manner of time the spirit of Christ, which was in those utterances, was signifying. When that spirit testified ahead of time, the sufferings of Christ, they couldn't see Christ, but they were the sufferings of Christ, and what? The glory that will follow. So in the wake of the sufferings of Christ, there was a glory, there was a fulfillment, which is the glory that was to what? Follow the sufferings. And now it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported. So what are they now? What is being ministered to us now? Things that are now being reported. What does it mean to be reported? The things that have been fulfilled. Let me read that again. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you. With what? The Holy Ghost sent them from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That's why the next verse says, wherefore, get up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the what? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So as the word has been taught, the revelation actually speaks about the what people call the rapture, the unveiling. But again, by extension, it also means as light comes, as you understand, why did you read the prophets? The prophets carry a description. We just saw Ezekiel described now that concerning new creation, you are cleansed from idols, you were sprinkled with clean water, therefore you are now called clean. How else do we describe you? You have a new heart, which is a new spirit. What does that mean? You're able to walk in the statutes of God. I will cause you to walk in my statutes and you will do my commandments. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God within you now makes you the temple of God. Where do you find the spirit of deity? In the temple of that deity. So the Spirit of God within you, within me, a new heart, a new spirit, means that you have become what? The temple of God, where the activities of God are ongoing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. It now says, I think we use this a lot for marriage. I really wonder why we use marriage a lot. Verse 14. Be not what? Unequally yoked. So the emphasis is not even marriage. It applies to marriage, but the emphasis is not marriage. Be not unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. For what? Fellowship as what? Righteousness. So when people say, he's a nice man, he's still unrighteousness. She's a kind lady, she's still unrighteousness. It's not because of her actions, it's because of who she is as a nature. Can you see that now? Does she have the new heart? No. Does she have a new spirit? No. Has she been sprinkled with clean water? No. Is she therefore clean? No. But she's really kind. She's not clean. How does the word approach her? She's unclean. But she has never done anything wrong. Unclean. Unclean. Unrighteous. You have to learn to reason the way the word of God reasons. Hallelujah. It will save you a lot of trouble. See what I say again. Being unequally looked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with righteousness? What communion has light with darkness? It calls the believer light. It calls the unbeliever darkness. It calls the believer righteousness. It calls the unbeliever what? Unrighteousness. So people, again, are carried away by human conduct. Human conduct can be inculcated. You can be trained in a particular way. I share with you, as a particular part of Asia, I can't remember, it's a small community. Nobody lies, nobody steals. And they were trained that way, and they are not born again. How does the Bible see them? Unrighteousness. What does the Bible call them? Darkness. So, until your mind is renewed by God's word, before you estimate people the way the word of God estimates them. See what it says again. It says, and what concord has Christ with Belial? He calls the believer Christ. He calls the unbeliever Belial. It says, and what part has he that believes with an infidel? Very strong words. And what agreement does the temple of God have with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God. As God had said. Where did he say so? He said it in the mouth of the prophets. You are. Say I am. Say I am. The temple of the living God. You know, it's very, very funny. When a temple is crying for God to come. The temple is shouting, God, come, 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 and you are the temple. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will. So that's when he was speaking as a prophecy, as a promise. I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. Can you see that? Say, God is walking in me. Say, God is walking through me. And he says that, and I will be their God, and they will want be my people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So notice the Spirit of God in you, therefore, makes you the temple of God where the activity of deity is seen and carried out. So remember, Solomon is a preacher. Solomon does not just indulge in wise sayings. Solomon is what? A preacher. So Solomon was a student of David, and David was a student of the prophets and Moses. So Solomon learned from his father. So when you hear Solomon saying, my son, attend to my words, he's telling you what David told him prophetically. And he's telling you, I learned from my father, and these are the words of my father, and this is how I became wise. I listened to the sweet psalmist of Israel, David, who was a student of Moses. So Solomon is prophesying, and he's using the Torah to preach the word of God. So if you know Solomon is a preacher, Proverbs 20 verse 27 will make sense. Now look at Proverbs 20 verse 20. Because Solomon also testified. Proverbs 20, the spirit of man, so, is a candle of the Lord, searching what? All the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man. So let me ask a question now. According to Ezekiel, what is that spirit that will be in man? What is that spirit that will be in man? The spirit of God. Solomon also is a preacher. Someone is telling you, the spirit that will be in man, which will be the spirit of God, will make man what? The temple of God, because that spirit is what the candle. Now, again, he's borrowing Old Testament language. The candle that must never go out is also called lamp, is always in the temple and is permanently lit. And that was a figure of speech for how the Spirit of God will be inside a man and illuminate him from inside out. Hallelujah. Do you understand that part? Should I say that again? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going through many scriptures now, so you cannot afford not to know this. You must get this. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel. Do you like Samuel? When you are reading the sermon of Peter, for instance, now, Peter told us that Samuel was one of the prophets that spoke about Jesus. But it doesn't look like he did, but he did. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, why was this so? Of course, I don't have time to go through it. But if you start from 1 Samuel chapter 1, you discover that the people who were meant to continue in the priesthood, Ophni and, what's the name? Phinehas. Nobody bears that name. I wonder. Have you noticed? Have you heard of anybody called Ophni? The same thing, I've not heard anybody called Jabez today. Nobody wants to bear Jabez. It's amazing. Nobody's bearing Ichabod. Why are they avoiding those names? I really wonder. Isn't it interesting? Ophni and Phinehas. Nobody wants to bear any name since that time till now. It wasn't repeated. Interesting. They were meant to continue the priesthood, but they were at variance with their father's legacy. And the father too made a mistake by not correcting them. Now, so there was no prophet at that time, but there was a priest called Eli. So part of the responsibility of the priest is to ensure that the lamp in the temple does not go off, but Eli is now very old. Somebody ought to continue. Now, the light in the temple going off on the lamp will signify that the Spirit of God is absent. Do you understand now? Do you understand as well? Now, that was a physical temple. Now, today, the Spirit of God in man is a candle of what? The Lord. So look at what it says again. It says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. So the leaders of God were scarce. That's what it's saying. It says, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. So before the lamp went out, leading came. God came and called somebody to replace Eli. I hope you understand that. So the lamp was about to go out, which will imply prophetically that there will be no leading available to Israel. So the leading of Israel was in the temple, represented by the lamp that must not what? Go out. Do you understand that so far? So the spirit of man, which is the spirit of God in man, is what? The candle of the Lord, searching what? All the inward parts of the belly. Now that's beautiful, because what he's saying is this. The spirit of man within you, we take hold of the information provided by your heart and give direction. Searching simply means it goes through that information and uses it to give you what? Direction. Are you with me? That's better. So the spirit of man, which is the spirit of God in man, is the candle of the Lord. It says searching, so interacting. That means the spirit of God within you and your own heart, comprised of your brain, your emotions, your intellect, and your will. Your brain does not go on vacation because you have the Spirit of God. Because without your brain or without your heart, so to speak, the Spirit of God does not have what to interact with. So let me say it again. When we say God is leading you, for which the most basic one is inward witness, without anything to witness to, you can't have a witness. Something has to be provided as information to affirm or to refute before you can say there's what? A witness. Now, what does your brain do? It does, right? It collects information. What does it do? It collects information. Then that information is processed through your mind. Then that information is exposed to your spirit or to God's spirit within you. And the Spirit of God gives a reaction in your heart. Say amen. I'm saying many things together, but you need to get it. Once that reaction comes, you call it the inward witness. It is not a voice. It makes you conscious. It brings you to an understanding. It brings you to an awareness. It's called the inward witness. But it works in the light of information given. So the information is supplied by your five senses. When your five senses come in contact with that information, then there can be a reaction, which is called a witness. That is attesting to something or refuting something. Praise God forevermore. Do you understand as well? So, when we say that God is leading you, remember, since you are now the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God within you is the candle, or how God illuminates you. Where God illuminates is your heart. Where do you make everything? In your heart. Where do you make decisions? In your heart. Where do you reason? In your heart. So, searching, taking hold of the information available, and then giving what? A reaction. In that instance. And that reaction is what we now call the inward what? Witness. And that's why, listen carefully. Because it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. It is not in man. That means there is no man alive who is making decisions by himself. He's being influenced. You are influenced by social media without knowing. In fact, the reason why adverts pay such huge amounts, companies pay, is because they are working in your perception using their brands. Till today, people prefer Coke to Pepsi. And it's not because it's better. But as I said, it's not because it's better. No, it's better. Now, who told you it's better? Who told you Peak is better than Dano? I'll make it worse now. That's even nice. I'm being nice when I say that. Who told you Kanko is better than Cowbell, Awamik? Now, that means the brand was promoted in such a way to give a superiority, isn't it? Do you know that superiority affects market price? Then when you are going to the store and you have purchasing power, which one will you pick when you see Cowbell and Pick Me and you have purchasing power? Which one will you pick? If you buy things like sardines, Titus, but you know there are other ones. I like those foreign ones. But the reason why, you know, package is part of it. What are they doing? Affecting your perception. Even if the quantity inside is less. You see, feel like, did it come from UK? It's much better. They are working on your perception. So, now, you're about to buy. Now, you have listed what you want to buy. To list is actually better. When you don't list, the influence is more. As you're just passing by, you're hearing voices. Buy me, buy me, buy me, buy me. Who told you that Crest is better than Close Up? They told you by advert. Now, you may now decide that McLean's is better by experience. But you first buy by how it is advertised, yes or no? So that means you have been influenced. You have been influenced. Without even knowing you have been influenced. Who told you that Weave On Palm Deer better than natural hair? They advertised to you and they showed you beautiful women looking beautiful with wigs and weave on. If they did the same thing to you with natural hair, guess what all of you are wearing? Natural hair. That's very simple. It's a strategy and it's working. The interesting thing is working without you even knowing. So it is not a man that worketh to direct you. Sometimes they're influencing you till today. If I need to buy cube sugar, guess which one I will buy? St. Louis. Yeah, are there other ones? Yes. Are there even better ones? Yes. But which one will you buy? St. Louis. If you are buying dishwashing liquid, which one will you buy? There's someone with Mama Lemon. Someone with Mama Lemon. You see? But some people get money. Check the advert of the two. You know what I'm talking about. So, like it or not, you are being influenced. without knowing. Now, the challenge now is this. I use that illustration to explain this. Your natural senses, because of influence, are limited in their decision-making capacity as long as all your influence comes from outside. And somebody said one day that the damage that makeup artists have done. Yeah, I saw somebody with tribal marks. When they finished, oh my God, if you carry her home and she removes it, you will think that there was a transformation, that they swapped the person. Somebody says, they say makeup artists are criminals. How can you transform somebody as India? And it's not true. What do you call that? Marketing. Advert. So people have not discovered that. Before you marry, go and say very early in the morning, this is what you're about to purchase. Antique. No wig, nothing. Everything plain. You like what you see? If the answer is yes, go ahead. Why? Influence. Now, so I see the lady. I'm interested in setting down. I see her. I see her and her friends. I see her in the office. She's nice, she's polite. She goes to a particular church. She speaks nicely. Everything is okay. She's my spec, but there's a check on the inside. All that information is in my heart. The spirit of God in me searches. And it searches all the inward parts of the belly. So the information gathered on the inward part, the spirit is now shedding light, and there's a reaction. And that reaction is, there's an hesitation. Or there's a heaviness. Now, my senses tell me I like what I see. And this product is good. But there's a reaction that tells me, which is supernatural intelligence, beyond the senses, that this is not for you. Hallelujah. Let me understand what you say. I didn't put out. That's the leading of the spirit. So that means there's more to you that meets the eye. And that's why once you have the spirit of God, you are called spiritual or alive to God. That means the same intelligence in God is available to you when it comes to making decisions, and you are not limited to only what the senses can observe. So the head you have over those who are not believers, that they, based on information available to them, will make a decision based on that limited information, but there's a superior intelligence by which God uses to what guide you and lead you into what he wants you to do. I shared with us before, I think it was during COVID, job opportunities were scarce. So people were working remotely, and there were these two gentlemen who went into the tech business, and jobs were offered to them. Both of them had interviews to the same company, and it was a high-paying job. And while one of them was praying, the Spirit of God said, don't take that job. Everything looked good. It was 3 times the pay it was receiving where it was before. And on the inside, he had a check. He just had a relaxed spirit. So he began to pray. The more he prayed, the stronger the witness gained. Now, that's one of the things that makes the witness stronger. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, which is the realm of the Spirit, the stronger the witness will be. If it is negative, the negativity will become stronger. The signal will become stronger. Because you have left the senses, that signal is now coming. Now, this simple thing I'm teaching, as simple as it is, it will help you when you want to obtain a house. You want to buy a land. You want to take over a property. There are things about it you have no idea of. And everything on the inside says, no, that is superior intelligence. That is intelligence above the senses. That is, there are things the broker is not telling you that the Spirit of God is aware of. You don't know why, but you don't have peace. What should you do? Follow that no peace signal. And say, I'm not taking any step forward until I'm sure why they say, no, I hope you understand. So that means everything is fine on the outside. Everything inside, Isaac told him, are you my son, Esau? My very son, Esau. When you're asking that question, are you my son? Are you my very son? What kind of question is that? He said, come close to me. He wanted to assure that may feel you. So he went to the senses. Where was he before? Permit me to use, I'm just borrowing the story. It was in the spirit. What was spirit? You know the voice and intonation of your sons, yes or no? You should know. So you heard the voice of Jacob. Who came to you as Esau? He says, are you my son? My very son Esau. Say, yes, I am. Say, come close to me. I may feel you, my son. Now, Jacob was a smooth man. Esau was a hairy man. So what did you do? You left the spirit. You went to the senses. And if the mother who knew her husband told him, put on the ear of the goat you killed. The asun, put it on. It's not asun. Put on the air on your body. And when he felt the body, he saw it was hairy. And he left the first leading that he had. What was that leading? It says, the body is that of Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. Because you can't do anything about the voice. And that's the parable. You picked up the right signal. You are not looking for physical things. What you picked up is spiritual intelligence. You are not looking for physical things, and that's where people fail. The first time you met him, as good as nice as he was, you had this check. You now brought in other evidence, but he's from your state. There are good people from that place. Yes, people that are from that place. He's even a graduate. And you know, he's only 30 and he already has a car. He has a very good job. He even goes to redeem. You know what you are doing? You are now considering the hand of Esau. But you know the voice is Jacob's voice. You now considering, you left the voice which told you that. As in, if the package is fine and I have a check, that means whatever I'm seeing on the outside is not what the package is referring to. It's referring to something else. You see, even as a wonderful name, Oluwa Shion. It's my kind. What is Oluwa Shion? I thank God. It must be the man of my dreams. He's about to become your nightmare. And I always say this. When you hear things like this, don't always think when you have a check, it means person is a bad person. It just simply means sometimes the person is not your own. And that the two of you together will be bad, but that person with somebody else will be perfect. I hope you understand that. That's why we say, it's not every Christian brother or sister you can marry. You need to understand that. There are some you cannot marry because they are not for you, they belong to somebody else. To that degree, that's somebody else's rib. That's not bone of your bone. Mm-mm. It's the hook of your hook. Amen. So, thank you for putting that up. So, you see, I'm a free whether you are my very son Esau or not. So, he said that. And he smelled him. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands and the hands of Esau. And that's why you make him say. So, you suppress the witness that you had. Because what you saw on the outside, you liked it. This young man followed the check on the inside, not to take the job, and took the job that was paying a bit lesser. 6 months after, still during COVID, the other brother took the job. Who did not follow the leading of the Spirit? He didn't pray, he didn't do anything. But again, when you pray, the voice of the Spirit is amplified. The leading becomes clever to you. So, in the midst of your natural desire, because your natural desires can cloud your senses such that you are not sensible as you ought to be. Let me give you this illustration. I said it 2 weeks ago. Somebody comes to ask you for money. And when they ask you for money, besides knowing their reputation or not knowing their reputation, nothing on the inside moves you. You're just fine. But some people that look good, that look like, it's a man of guarantee. Yeah, there's this reluctance about giving the money. Just borrow me. It's only your decade. You may never see the money again. And God may be saving you from future torment because you are about to get into strife. There are very few things that cause believers to be in strife with one another than money. So God wasn't wanting you in strife. So he tells you, don't give the person money. Now, think about it. You are thinking, no, God cannot say that. God is a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. That's why he's telling you not to give the person the money. Because the person will not return the money. And both of you are his children. And he doesn't want you to fight. He will sort the person out some other way. Because if you start fighting to create other things, I hope you understand. It is God saying, don't give the person. So how can God? God wants me to help the person. He wants to help the person. The help does not come to you. Because it causes strife. And those things are there every day, and we hardly follow them. This other young man took a lesser paying job that did not seem to make sense. This other one took a job paying 3 times more. Didn't follow that leading. 6 months down the road, listen carefully, the company that offered that job that paid that much folded up during COVID. The job that was paying lesser continued thriving. After 6 months, some months after, it was offered an international appointment, and the company came moving up. So, what would the God, those who believe will not make what? Haste. So, God was trying to say, now, did God want it for both of them? Yes. One listened, the other didn't listen. So, the other relied on an intelligence that was earthly and sexual and followed the senses. And so, the reason why God's Spirit is within you so that to give you that superior edge where the information that's not available to the senses, you can pick it up and learn to live in the light of that information. That's important. And as we're going, I will show you because your natural bias can actually affect you following leading of the Spirit. If all your life you're a lady, what you've been hearing your parents say is that, don't marry Igbo, don't marry Igbo. What if the will of God is for you to marry Igbo? You know what will happen? When an Igbo guy comes along, well set, solid guy, sound Christian, you are not seeing him. Nothing is leading you. Your voice, what's your mommy, is what is leading you. He's coded on the inside. Excuse me, what's your name? Emeka. Bye. What about you? Chuku. Sorry. You are programmed by. So, there is what you call conscience. We're going to look at conscience. Conscience is consciousness. A body of knowledge you have that's militating against you, that's affecting and influencing what your choice is, such that it's so strong that sometimes it suppresses the witness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He affected Peter. And Peter almost missed God because of that bias. Because Peter was commanded to go and preach the gospel, and Peter had an issue because there was a bias that was Jewish in nature, that was according to the law. And it was God leading. In fact, there was a supernatural manifestation of God leading. And yet the bias was strong enough for Peter to be arguing in the vision. You have not seen it that way. Acts chapter 10. Let's round up with that. We'll continue next week. Acts chapter 10, verse 10. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. What happened next? He saw heaven open at a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great ship, neat at the four corners, and led down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No." Where did the shit come from? From where? From what? From where? Is it from the earth or from heaven? Okay, so pay attention to the vision. The sheet came from heaven. What was in the sheet? All manner of four-footed beasts. Now, listen carefully. If you read Leviticus, you hear the sanitary laws that Moses gave, and there are many of them. And part of those laws was certain fundamental animals not to eat. Now, let me say this very carefully. There were sanitary laws, okay? That is, some animals are not healthy to eat. But really, what was Moses really saying? It wasn't about don't eat snake, don't eat lizard. He called some animals clean, somewhat unclean. He was preaching the gospel using proverbs to let you know that this is clean, this is not what clean. So when animals came, but look at this vision. The animals Peter saw, they came from heaven. Why did they come from heaven? I have cleansed this. Whatever is from above is what above all. I have cleansed this. I hope you understand. This is cleansed. Now, I'm showing you this has been cleansed. But Peter is like, snake. This kind of bed, we don't eat it. Never. Never. And this is a vision. In fact, it's a trance, which is spectacular leading, which is your physical senses are suspended. And Peter cast the talk. Some of you think that if an angel appears to me, if an angel appears to you and tells you, Collins is the one. You ask the angel, where is he from? He's from the east. It cannot be me. It cannot be me. It can never be me. And then that's what they say. They say, it can never be me. It's the angel that's talking to him. But your training is speaking louder. It's speaking louder. Your training, what you, how you were raised, your bias is speaking louder. How many of you can marry Chinese? The look of your face, your reaction says everything. Can you see your reaction? How many of you can marry Chinese? How many men they can marry an Indian lady? Someone say, why they have? If you check your heart, there's a bias somewhere. Somewhere or the other. Even people are even better. Some people in here, no. I can't take her home. Why? There's a bias. Look at what Peter said. Not so lawful, I've never eaten anything that is what common or clean. Look at next verse. It says, and the voice spake unto him again the second time. What God has what? Cleansed. How did God clean? He came from heaven. Called that not common. This was done how many times? For emphasis, three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. It says, now while Peter what? Doubted in himself. What does it mean to doubt? He was exposing the information to the Spirit of God within him. This is a spectacular leading. He now began to expose that information. This thing I've seen, I suspect this is what it means. But no, it cannot mean that. So there was information in Peter that he was exposing to the Spirit of God. And in exposing it, he began to get clarity But there was this strong bias. I was like, no, it cannot be. So what did God do next? Look at next thing that happened. Now, while Peter doubted himself, what division which he has seen should me? Behold, the men which had sent for Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. He says, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, so Peter was still thinking. That means he was still exposing his heart to the Spirit of God, okay? His heart had the information. The Spirit said. So he was still in that flow where he was meditating. The Spirit now said, now this is different from the witness. This is audible to Peter. We call it the audible voice of the Spirit. The Spirit now said to Peter, behold, three men seek thee. Now, the Spirit, when the Spirit spoke, the Spirit brought revelation. The witness did not bring revelation. The Spirit brought what? Revelation and facts. You call this a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Look at next verse. It says, and arise therefore and get thee down and go with them. Doing what? Did God know he was doubting? Yes. Doubting nothing. For I have what? Oh, I have called them cleansed. I've called them qualified to receive eternal life. Amen. I've judged them worthy of eternal life. Don't doubt. Don't say they are unclean. Don't call them common. What would that mean to this language? Don't judge them unworthy of eternal life. Don't say they do not deserve the gospel to be preached to them. I have one who sent them. So I'm giving you supernatural or spectacular revelation now. There are three of them. They are seeking you. I'm the one that sent them. Go with them. So Peter will get downstairs. He will find three men. Exactly what Spirit said. What will happen to Peter? He will be more convinced. This is the will of God. Amen? So the nature of what happened required spectacular leading. Hence, there was a trance. Then there was a witness. Then there was what? The audible voice of the Spirit. So we see three different leadings because the nature of what was happening required that. Let me say it again. You don't need spectacular leading in normal situations. It's in exceptional situations that spectacular leading can become what? Necessary. So don't crave for it. Don't look for it. Don't even pray for it. God will give you only and when necessary. That's how to stay. So stay with the inward witness. If anything extra needs to be given to you, it will be given to you. But don't pray for it. Peter wasn't praying for it. Peter needed it because Peter, after he obeys God, will be confronted by the Jewish elders in the next chapter. Peter will have to have evidence and proof and more understanding of God's will to defend himself. Can you see that? So a lot of times, when you have spectacular leading, just know that trouble is on the horizon. You will need that spectacular learning to keep steady, to stay steady, and to keep your heart, okay, fixed and unshaken when question and persecution begins to arise. All right, we'll stop here tonight. Praise God. All glory to God forevermore.